Hi guys, welcome back to We Have Thoughts. We're still doing our Oscar Rewind series. We're talking about the 2017 Oscar season. And we've talked about a lot of Best Pictures already. And today we're talking about probably one of the saddest ones nominated that year, Lion. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
I'm Joy.
And where we have thoughts. And we're about to probably talk about how much we cried. Tissues we went through while watching this movie.
Yes.
And how awkward it was for me to be watching this movie and sobbing so hard and also be thirsting so hard for Dev Patel.
Let me tell you, that is something I had in the back of my mind while I was watching it. I was like, he's very handsome, but I'm sad. What is happening?
So let me go over what was nominated for. Was nominated for Best Picture, Best Supporting. I'm sorry, I did not write these correctly. Supporting role for an actor, supporting role actress, Best Adaptive Screenplay, Cinematography, and Original Score. It was directed by Garth Davis, written by Saru Briarly. The book, it was based off his book, and the screenplay is by Luke Davis.
Six noms, no wins.
A shame, really.
Yeah. A shame.
Never mind. I was about to ask who won for original score.
Yeah. We're not going to get to that right now. The score, I remember when we first watched it, I think I went home that night and like started listening to it immediately. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was so great. I love Dustin Nohalaran, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. His previous work is really great. He's done some of oh my God, what is that guy, that Drake DeMoris. He's done a couple of, he scored a couple of his movies that I really liked. And I think it's ridiculous that Dev Patel was nominated for Best Supporting Actor when he literally got top billing for this movie.
It's because they thought he would have the better chance.
I know. And that's so stupid.
And because he doesn't show up until almost 60 minutes in.
But he was... All right, fine.
You know what I think that, like... and it's something that was very noticeable in this film. But... child actors don't get enough credit for like what they do. And I think that Sunny could have also, I would argue to say he could have also been nominated for an Oscar, because the first, yeah, it's split into two. So the first half of the movie is all him, his acting, his whole face, just like going through all these things as like a little kid and still having like a sophisticated understanding of what these emotions are supposed to express.
And he wasn't, it wasn't dialogue heavy, so it was all his emotion and all his...
Yes!
I read that Luke Davis, the screenwriter, was inspired by the first hour of WALL-E.
Really?
The story through emotion and not through dialogue.
And he was really successful in that because, like, Sunny is... I mean, apart from being, like, the cutest child I have ever seen... I just want to like take him in my arms and like hug him and love him forever. He really was like doing some acting that you normally see like adult actors do. Mm-hmm. And like going through all of the motions and like really delivering a solid performance that, you know, I would argue goes up against all of these adult men.
So I wonder what the rules for, like, if it's considered lead, how much screen time do they have to have? And vice versa. Like, I don't know what that is.
I'm wondering if it matters or if they get to choose which category they enter for.
True.
Because I feel like we should figure this out at some point.
I feel like that should be a distinct rule, though. But that's just, I like rules, I guess.
Because I feel the same way. Because I feel like there's so many times where somebody's nominated for supporting, and I'm like, you were in 98% of this movie.
Yeah.
And
they're
nominated for a lead. And I'm like, you sure about that, dude? Because you were definitely supporting the other main character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know the definitive rules of it. I think I need to look that up. But
yeah,
that I also, still think he was a lead, but whatever.
Yeah, that also goes like wrong year, but like Green Book. You had Viggo Mortensen and you had Mahershala Ali who were co-leads. And they split it just for
And the person of color is the supporting. Isn't that some shit?
Yeah.
Because Viggo Mortensen, his character in real life, his son wrote the movie, so of course
he was going to give him the lead.
To be the lead.
I can feel anger for that movie building up again.
And yeah, just for the, I mean, like,
I'm so glad we don't talk about it.
Yeah. And for this, really, you could, like, Dev Patel was the first name listed in the cast. You know, it's top billing for him. And if you put Dev Patel against the other actors that were in the Best Actor race, like, he totally fits in there, like, seamlessly.
Yeah, agreed.
Who else was nominated?
Casey Affleck, Denzel Washington, Andrew Garfield, Ryan Gosling, Viggo Mortensen.
Easy. He would have fit in there easy.
Yeah, I would. I didn't see Captain Fantastic, but apparently it was not that fantastic since this is all it got. We could just take him out.
Do you think, okay, so do you think Viggo Mortensen was could be swapped off for Dev Patel, honestly, Anna? Since you've seen the both movies, we haven't.
Honestly, I think Casey Affleck could be swapped out.
You know what? Same. Because, well, we'll get there, but I have choice words for that movie.
But it's been a long time since I've seen Captain Fantastic.
I heard it was great.
So off the top of my head, I couldn't make that call. I really did enjoy the movie.
Was that the movie with Brie Larson or no?
No. Oh. I don't think so. No, that's the one with the kid from 1917. Is it Adam McKay? Ben?
Mackay.
Mackay.
Last name.
Is that the one with No. The Brie Larson movie where she's like older and like her they were homeless when they were kids and
what?
Woody Harrelson.
That's Woody Harrelson. Okay, different movie.
I don't know who that is.
In the castle.
Yes, the castle. Something about the castle. Honestly, Dev Patel
should have been there.
Should have been his lead. Sunny Panwar, I could supporting actor or lead, whatever.
I wonder, like, I understand that, like, sometimes because there's a lot of great child performances in these movies sometimes, and I wonder why they're not as willing to give a child a nomination. I don't want them to do
like a kids category.
No. Maybe they could, just because they have room to grow at that point. I don't know. I just feel...
Because not every year is going to have two or three performances.
Right.
And then you could be like, well, let's give them a special award. But then that feels...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Ridiculous.
Could you do it... What if it was, like, only three, or instead, like... Every year you just, instead of there being nominees, you just award one.
Well, like the BAFTAs have a thing called Rising Star every year. So it's not specifically a performance. It's like the young actor, youngish actor who's done great things within this year. Like John Boyega has won, Will Poulter has won, Kristen Stewart won at one point. So like it's these actors who are young and doing great things who are going to have a great future. So maybe they can have maybe the night before the Oscars or like maybe at the luncheon or something, have like a rising star Oscar for young actors.
I'd be down for that.
I think that's a good way to bring in that type of audience and then like to show like this is our, because especially because the Oscars are so much about like older men and older thinking and older this, that, the other. If they were to bring in maybe like the younger folks that way, it would continue the cycle of Oscar and make it broaden it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe not specifically a performance, but like an actor as a whole.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah. First of all, Sunny's little bitty voice was so precious. So precious. I just want to hold him in my arms. Oh my god!
The way he says his brother's name, when he was yelling out his name, it just like broke my heart in a million pieces.
And I was already crying because I knew it was gonna happen. So I was like, "Oh, all right, come on, dear, let's go."
The second they got to that train station, I started crying.
I know. And then, like, when he he wakes up from his nap and the everything's really silent. I mean, it's so eerie because he doesn't hear anything. He's very like.
And I don't think I noticed it the first time around because I was so anxious and worried. I really liked how the camera, when he's lost and he's wandering through Calcutta, how the camera is down on his level.
Yes.
We're watching him lost. And then when he first is in the big crowd and he jumps up and he climbs up the post, he reminded me so much of that scene in Game of Thrones when Arya is on the statue to watch her draft.
You're right. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know what? It kind of reminded me of, I think in Lion King, whenever the antelope are coming down and stampede. Simba in the stampede. Yeah. And Simba is kind of like on the rocks, like looking around.
Oh my God. I didn't even think about that.
I was like, wow, I'm extra sad. That's cute. Ooh. All right.
Go ahead.
I checked the distance. I'm sorry. This whole podcast is.
Oh yeah. Time. I checked it too.
It was like taking a train from here to Chicago.
Yeah.
So this baby went from here to Chicago by himself.
Like a little under 100,000 miles, right?
It was about 1,000 miles.
Oh God.
The whole in space.
space, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. The way that when the camera, how you said Anna about it being at his level, it reminded me a lot of. Did you ever see Beast of the Southern Wild?
I haven't yet.
Oh my God, that's so great.
That movie is shot similarly where it's a young girl. Pretty much the whole movie is from her perspective. So the camera's never really high up. So you kind of don't know how big this world is that she's in because all you see is what she sees. And so it was very similar to that. And that's a great movie.
I really enjoyed the way the story was told. I was reading about Luke Davis's choice to not make it start with Dev Patel as old Saru and have like flashbacks and then going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would have been more, because I feel like this movie is not emotionally manipulative.
No, right.
Not trying to force you to feel shit. You just feel it anyway.
Yeah.
But I think if it was going back and forth and like mirroring certain memories with certain moments going on in Dev Patel's life, that it would have been more manipulative.
Yeah.
I think it would have cheapened it a little. But because we didn't know where it was heading, I think we were naturally invested rather than being like, oh, I know where we're going with this.
And the story itself is so extraordinary. He just kind of like let it happen.
Exactly.
He's like, I know what this is. I'm going to do my direction, but just like let it flow. He didn't get in the way of it, which was really
following great. His story from the beginning all the way to the end, like uninterrupted was.
Yeah. Your tears are earned for sure. The tears are earned that you cry for sure.
Also he spent 2 months alone on the streets.
Which I looked it up. It was actually more like 3 weeks.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah, so, I mean, still. And I mean, it helps that he like, sorry, he was on the streets a lot with his brother. So it wasn't like a complete, totally. I mean, yeah, it was scary because it was new. He didn't know the language. He was alone. But he was smart enough. He knew when to run from that lady. He knew when something didn't feel right. He trusted his gut. Which I don't know that if I was at 5 years old, I don't think I was like that, you know? So thankfully he had that internal conscious in him that was like, no, I need it. This don't feel right. Peace. I gotta go. I ate. I'm clothed. I'm bathed. I gotta go. You know, he's ran. He was a fast runner. But I think we talked about this when we first watched Anna, but like seeing all those kids in like the slums, like just it broke me. It really did.
We came home to our apartment at the time and we were like, we could fit like 5 of them in the living room. I can put 3 of them in my bed. I'll sleep on.
We literally were like looking around like, where can we put? We'll put one here. We'll put one over there. Like, they can't be in the street. They can't. Oh no, what's happening already?
Because we watched this together, didn't we? But it was before we lived together.
Yeah. So I think we had separated at the theater.
Theater, yeah.
And then we got home and we were like, we can do so much.
We can do it.
It may not be glorious, but my carpeted floor is better than a cardboard box in a train station.
Immediately I was like, okay, what charities can I donate to? Where can I help? Like, I gotta find something.
Oh my God. And I think for me personally, and much like everyone else, seeing kids suffer is what hurts me the most. It's the hardest for me to get through. Even though I know it's like, based on True Story, it's like a movie, but still, like, to see them in any type of peril just like breaks my soul to the floor. Like, it gets really
hard. That was the thing, is I watched it and I came out of the room very puffy eyed and red. And my family was like, it's okay, Anna. It wasn't real. And I was like, no.
No, it was.
That's the problem, is all of this was real. I can't let it go because it happened. It's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, no.
And then to even double up on it, right now I'm visiting family in South Texas. And literally, you know, less than 20 minutes away from me is like the detention centers. And, like, I just want to go there and break those kids out and set them free and love them.
Are you like, well, one will fit over here. We can put a bed, a cot over here. There's some, they can sleep over in this corner. Like,
out of Texas, I'll drive them wherever they want to go. Just
right.
Yeah.
Out of there.
I think the beginning part with Sunny Penoir is his name, mm-hmm. I believe. With Sunny,
oh,
I
think. Pawar.
Pawar? Excuse mm-hmm. me. Sorry, Sunny. I think the first part of the movie is really, really strong.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I feel, and I love Dev Patel. I love him a lot. But I feel like once it transitions to that part, 20 years in the future, it kind of loses steam a little bit.
I feel like there's a distinction because it feels like you're watching this true story happen, and then it's like, oh, it's a movie. It's Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're like,
it's reality.
There's Nicole Kidman. There's
and that weird, really weird wig she had on.
There's Boromir from Lord of the Rings telling me walk into Mordor, and then there's Dev Patel and Rooney Mara.
Rooney Mara.
Why was she even there?
What a weird
choice.
I'm
still annoyed that she was on the poster for that movie. No, get out of here.
She was supposed to represent like a bunch of different girlfriends in his life. Like, she was supposed to represent like his ties to, I forget what I read, but I was like, it didn't work.
It didn't, no.
I don't think she was like vulnerable enough, maybe is the word.
She didn't bring anything to it. Like, she was.
There was no like connection there. Like, I felt it from Dev, but I didn't.
Girl, we all did.
what a weird movie to watch where I'm like sad, but I'm also like, this Dev is just so, he's just so beautiful.
When he had his shirt off and they were in like on his mattress on the floor, I was like, I'm still sobbing, but good Lord. There's some sweat going in, mixing in with my tears.
Oh my God. Lord in heaven.
Oh my God.
In the beginning, when they go to that party with his friends, and he's like, Dev Patel broke my heart when he was like, I'm not from Calcutta, I'm lost. When he said, I'm lost, I was like, oh no.
But him seeing that delicacy from where he's from and having that moment of, oh shit, I remember. I've been repressing this for so long.
Yeah.
And now it's like hitting me.
I kind of wish they went more into that a little bit, more of like how, because he says it a little bit later, like, I didn't want to tell you guys because I was afraid. I don't want you to think I was like not appreciative of you guys, but I wish I would elaborate more on that, on his feelings.
I feel like,
you know, just a little bit more.
I feel like you got a lot of that when, because like Sunny has a lot of like, not a lot of dialogue in the beginning, and it's a lot of face acting. I think Dev has that like moment in the middle once he breaks up with Rooney Mara and he kind of like stays away from his family. You get that sort of time that he's just like with himself and his feelings, and he's like trying to search, and that's where his general like body language and face acting kind of pops through.
I need a little bit more. I need more out of it.
And then he affirms it when he sees Rooney Mara again. He's like, I hear them screaming my name every night.
Yeah.
They're calling for me. And the first time I watched this, the first time we were in the theaters, up until the very end when he's reunited with his mother and he finds out his brother died, the whole movie, I'm feeling so bad for Gadu because I'm like, he lost his brother. The guilt and the shame and the whole, like, that poor guy growing up his entire life with this awful thing. And then at the very end, when he found out he died, I was like, awful. It's awful, but I was relieved. I was so glad he didn't have to live with that pain. But then I was like, oh shit, he died.
Yeah.
And then it hit me. At first, it was like, oh, thank God. And then I was like, oh no. Like, that's
And I wonder what, because you think, like, why did he leave him there? Like, he would leave him there. What happened? What was going on? You know? So, like, I'm sorry. I thought that too. Like, did he come back and not see him? Like,
can you imagine if he did?
Yeah. Like,
because we still don't know the exact events of that night.
No, that's what's even crazier.
If he had come back and seen that his brother had been missing and then he went out to try and find him and then was killed by the train, or if he never made it back to see to check, like, we still don't know. And that's,
and you know what, I do like about the movie too is they didn't put that in the movie. They didn't have a scene where we saw his brother die, or you know, that would have been very, like,
exploitative.
No, that means like a cuss word.
That would be exploiting the feeling.
Yeah, it would be. I'm glad they didn't do that, because I could totally see some other crappy director, like a writer, quote unquote writer, doing that and making that it terrible.
Stuff that that Saru didn't see.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. But everything that we saw was from his point of view. So everything was something that he
lived through, he saw, he experienced.
This is good, because he was 5 years old, for crying out loud. I didn't even know how to pronounce his own city correctly. Like, that, or his own name. Oh my God, that's crazy. Oh, poor baby.
But knowing that this time around that his name was Sharu instead of Saru, I was like listening for it to see if his mother was saying it differently, but it never... At least I didn't hear it. So I'm
maybe wondering. What I think it is, maybe that's how he was hearing it.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's how he interpreted it.
That makes sense.
I think.
Going back to the score a little bit, it was really interesting because now looking at it this time that I watched it, I was analyzing it a little bit more. So the strings would always pop in when the tension starts building, when something starts like happening, and I was like, oh, it's like giving me chills. Like it was so well done and well
placed. Creates an atmosphere.
Yeah, it really did its job. It was doing really good.
But it wasn't over the top either.
No. It created the emotion without feeling like it was like, you know, overdone or just pushy.
It coincides with the way it's directed and scripted too. So yeah. Perfect, yeah.
Honestly, okay, so like Dev Patel and Sunny Pawar, really, really good acting. But I think just in general, the film was a really good like acting showcase for like everybody.
Yeah.
Because even the one that really got me is every time I saw Saru's mom's face, I was like, ugh, just like broken. And like when he finally goes to meet her, again, you know, 20 plus years later, like her face is everything.
That
like
whole
her
scene acting there, is beautiful.
Yeah. And I love how like there's this huge crowd around them, but the shot is really just between their faces. That's all it is. Like you can feel the crowd, you can feel the energy from them, but it's really about him reconnecting with his mother.
Like the smile on her face is just so infectious. You feel it like in her just everything about that scene is fantastic. And I love how like there's a wide shot of it and Dev Patel is just taller than everybody. So he's like, you know, it's kind of like it reminds me of like whenever Jesus goes in a crowd and he sees everyone and he's like above the kind of, that's what it reminds me of a little bit, you know. When he sees his sister, he's like, she's so beautiful. Like, that whole
sequence. The whole thing. I was like, cracked open.
I was telling Joy, like, when we watch it at the theater, like, I don't tend to let myself go to the theater because I'm in public and, like, people are around or whatever. But now I was at home when I watched this again, and, like, I was fully able to let myself just cry at the end. And I was puffy eyes for, like, a day. Like, the next day, they're still so puffy. I was like, I don't even think I couldn't see it towards the end because, like, my eyes were so. But that scene is just. And then I was started going even harder when, like, the movie's over and they show, like, the real life footage of, like, his mom's meeting.
Oh, God.
Confession, I turned it off before.
Really?
Oh. I was so done. I watched it on Wednesday, and all of Thursday I had this terrible emotional hangover. Like, I felt nothing all day because I had felt so much the night before. So all day long everyone was like, "Oh, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why?" I'm
no,
sure
there's four orphans in India. No, I'm not okay. Yeah, it was beautiful. I like when she says to him, you know, when he tells her, like, I need to go meet her, and she's like, you go. She needs to see how beautiful you are. That line always kills me.
Nicole Kidman's in this movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, like, okay, literally everyone's acting was 100%. They were giving it their all, and without, you know, it being cheesy. Like, at no point of this did it get cheesy, even though it's a very, like...
And it could have been.
A very emotional, yeah, very heavy sort of movie. At no point did it feel like this was just being played. We were being played for this.
With Nicole Kidman, first of all, his Sue Brierley in real life chose her to play herself because she, too, had adopted two children.
Yes. Yeah.
Their stories were similar, and so she would understand what Sue was going through. And then director Gareth Davis?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Gareth Davis said he casted his Indian mother because he felt when he met her, she had a similar, like, feeling of Nicole Kidman. He was like, when I met her, the two felt similar to me, and they had the same, like, love and brightness, and
yeah,
so they were the perfect match to be his mothers.
And you can totally tell because, like, she really, especially in that scene where the mom is doing her labor, she's picking up rocks, and Saru comes to see her, and he's helping her out, and every time that she, like, says his name or says, like, good job, it feels so genuine. Yes. It feels like I'm watching people, like, I'm watching a mother talk to her son. It doesn't feel like acting at all.
It's so pure and beautiful.
It broke my heart this time watching him run away from that scary situation where...
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He imagined himself running straight to his mother working, and he just started helping her. Like, he didn't need to be told. He didn't need to be asked. He was like, I'm with my mom. I'll do whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read in Entertainment Weekly that at the time that John and Sue married, Australian law said that you could not adopt if you could not prove infertility. So they waited 16 years for the law to change.
What?
And as soon as it changed, they went forward with adoption to adopt a Sue. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. So that's, like, when I read that, I was like, oh, wow. So she really wasn't about her not being able to have kids. That's what she really wanted.
No, she really wanted to
bring these people into her lives.
Those kinds of laws frustrate me. Like, how can you stop somebody from saying you can have a family?
Yeah, because from giving kids, like, love and attention.
New York, you can't be a surrogate. Surrogacy is illegal in New York.
What?
Yeah. So... like Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper. I'm not sure if Anderson did the same thing, but Andy Cohen's surrogate was in California.
Wow.
That's nuts.
I have no idea. That's crazy.
Why would you?
Because it's another way for men to control our bodies.
No. any why question about women's bodies, it's usually that's the answer.
I don't know why we asked, because we knew the answer.
Yeah. I guess I had to ask.
But yeah, I saw that. I read that fact and I was like, get out of here.
That's insane.
That's 16 years they waited because they wanted to adopt. That was their goal. No ifs, ands, or buts. They were going to do it. So they waited 16 years.
Bravo. I mean, I'm going to wait about 12, 11-ish years. So
I mean,
I got a long time to
you
go.
You know what? Whatever works for you guys, do your thing. Whatever.
That's nuts.
So this was Gareth Davis's directorial debut.
Yeah.
Bravo, son.
Good job.
He did amazing, sweetie. Literally.
He did Top of the Lake with Elizabeth Moss. And the producer really liked him from there. And so offered him this movie straight up. Like, didn't.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Knew he would do a good job. Speaking of the producers, I read that when they were trying to sell the movie, a bunch of American production companies wanted to buy it. But only if they changed Australia to America.
Oh, God.
And they refused. So they were waiting about 4 years before it got bought.
Wow.
Really so dumb. Stupid. We're so...
Again, I'm not surprised.
The ego. America's ego. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Causing problems since 17 whatever.
Since the beginning of time.
Basically.
So question...
fucking life story, and you're just gonna be like, oh, I don't like your home country, your second home country, so we're gonna change it.
That's so stupid.
So a question. Is Rooney Mara a good actress,
or is she just interesting looking?
I mean, I honestly, I'm not like trying to like give her shade or anything. I really don't know. Like, I don't, is she good? I don't know.
What have I seen her in? Hold on, let me check. The was Social Network, right?
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yes. Which I still have never seen.
Oh, that is her. I haven't seen that either.
I think I've seen it, but I saw all the Swedish ones.
Oh, okay.
And that girl is way better. Rooney Rapace?
Yeah, I think you're right.
She's fantastic. I don't know. I don't feel like I've seen Rooney Mara or Kate Mara in a whole lot.
Oh, yeah. Wait, she was in Her, but it was, like, a really small role. She's only, like, movie-wise, she's only done, like, really small roles.
I just, like, I don't know. Like, you don't, not every actor has to be transformative or anything, but I don't think she means anything to any roles that I've seen her in that, like, makes me go, oh, yeah, she was casting that for a reason, or she brought this to this. Like, she's just kind of there.
I feel like we could have swapped her out for
anybody else. Anyone else. Me, put me in it.
Make you fall in love with Dev Patel.
I'm done. Hey. She was in Carol. Didn't you see that, Joy?
Let me tell you about my Carol problems. I still haven't seen it. I'm sorry. I was going to see it. Actually, me and Michelle were going to see it. And then we ended up talking about something else. We got distracted and we didn't watch it.
I'm not
surprised. It's happened many times. So I still haven't seen it. I hear it's great. I can't wait to see it. When is that happening? I don't know. I don't know if it was great because of her. I mean, I think the story itself is really what people are attached to.
She, like, comes from money, right? What is her?
Yeah.
Her dad owns a football team.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I know that they referenced them in Kimmy Schmidt when Jane Krakowski's talking about, like, rich white people. And I can't remember what she's talking about exactly, but she's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like nepotism or something.
She talks about the Mara sisters.
The Mara sisters.
And I'm like, what are they rich for? Okay, there you go.
No, I need to watch Carol. It's on my watch list. I did like her on The Social Network, though. I think it was like...
Oh, yeah, she was in that. Because we did that scene, is that why?
No, but like it was a good...
You were much better.
Thank you. I'm a great actress.
That was really a good Jesse Eisenberg, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, so because one of the... Okay, so the nominations for this... as far as I, yes, who won? Oh, Viola Davis. Okay, yeah, 100% Viola Davis deserves this win. But this category, I feel like, was very strong this year. Octavia Spencer, Naomi Harris, Viola Davis, Nicole Kidman. I haven't seen Michelle Williams yet, but I'll let you know next week. Adapted screenplay.
Janelle Monáe should have been there, but whatever.
Janelle Monáe should have been there. We could take Michelle Williams out. Well, Janelle Monáe. Adapted screenplay went to Moonlight, which, yes, fair. But again, there was a lot of strong things. Fences, Arrival, Lion, Hidden Figures. All of these are... This is a really strong year. As we go through this, I notice it more and more. Okay. So my big category here, best cinematography.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Go off.
Okay. So I made some notes. And my notes are, this film is very fucking beautiful. I cannot believe, here I go again. I cannot believe fucking La La Land won best cinematography in this garbage, the stupid awards. Okay.
She knows the literally she's taking her ponytail off. Like she's putting her hair down. She's ready.
Lion, Arrival, Moonlight, Silence, which I have not seen. But Lion, Arrival, Moonlight were like probably top three of the year.
What was the other one?
Silence. Was it a foreign film?
No, it was Martin Scorsese, I think, right?
It's the one
about Andrew Garfield and Adam Driver.
Or two popes, or like two missionaries.
Yeah.
Not two popes, that was last year.
Not two popes.
Two missionaries and like...
Two Portuguese Jesuit priests.
That's what you said. That's definitely what I said.
Wait, hold on, just for a second.
What?
Portuguese Jesuit priest played by Andrew Garfield and Adam Driver.
Yikes.
Well, I know they ain't Portuguese, but alrighty then. Okay, so as far as cinematography, there is a long list of shots that I saw that really stood out to me.
Go off.
First, Saru in the butterflies, when the butterflies are lifting off around him. That was like one of the first shots of the film, and what a great establishing shot that was. Because he's lost in the butterflies. It's still something beautiful has come out. We're visually very pleased.
His smile is beaming.
He is the light. He is sunlight. He literally is the light of my life. I just love him. Really great when his brother Gudu is in silhouette when they're coming out of the train tunnel. And you see the smoke around them. And you just see his body framed and everything else is dark. Beautiful. Saru's shadow on the chair in the train when he's first lost. There's a really great shot because Saru's not even in the shot, but you're facing the seat the seat in the train and the window outside, and you just see his little shadow on the chair, and he's like not even there, and it's beautiful, and it tells you a lot about this film. The shots, there's a few shots. I didn't write them all down. But where they go from pitch black to areas of light, mm-hmm. They're finding the light. Beautiful. Saru and Rooney Mara's something with the sunrise lighting through the windows. Oh, when they're laying in the bed and it's just the beautiful, soft, that soft light on them. Yeah. When the sun is rising through the windows. Okay, whatever apartment or house he had was stunning because it was a whole wall of windows, and apparently business is good even after he quit.
Looking out at the ocean.
Looking at the ocean, Dev Patel in your arms, like what can go wrong?
Wow.
My literal dream. The ocean there, Dev Patel here. Good night.
I love this for you. Saru centered walking along the bridge with his mirror frame of his mom walking along the bridge too.
Oh God.
He's coming from one side and his mom is coming from the other side, and he's in modern day and she's in the past. What a great, honestly, visual storytelling. This is how you do it. This is why this was nominated for Best Cinematography. When I first wrote the list down, I was like, I clearly was not noticing the cinematography because I was so emotional the first time watching it.
Yeah.
But now that I was able to look at it, there's so much good visual storytelling in this. As well as that bridge one, there's a couple of other mirrored shots where it shows Saru and then his mother or his brother. All the landscapes look so rich and so lush. Like Australia looks really lush, even in like, Calcutta, the houses are like a really interesting palette of colors. Even when he goes down to by the river where all those people are sleeping, the colors and the fire and the light. It was really great. And then the last one was Groen Suru going back into his hometown and the blue houses and his hands just like skimming the walls.
I love that.
And he was just like feeling his whole history come back to him.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh
my God. You could have had three other much better cinematography winners. I will die on that hill.
That whole, again, that last sequence, the acting, the way it's shot, the everything about that scene is actually perfect. Like, it's just so, because then you think, like, oh, he didn't find her. Went to his house and, oh, it's over. We're done. And then it just, Oh, God.
I read that Dev Patel took the journey that Saru took. He walked from the village to the train station and took the train all the way to Calcutta and like kept a diary and
Oh my God.
See, that is, what do you call it? That's method acting.
Ooh.
That's proper, healthy, good for your acting method acting.
Good for me too.
Like, he's invested in his role, he's doing the work, he's doing the research, and he isn't hurting anyone. Beautiful. We love to see it, Dev Patel. Where is your Oscar in the future? Hopefully, one day.
I really hope that was the Green Knight comes out soon.
The Green Knight.
I really hope that comes out soon.
Yeah, this was supposed to be the year of Dev Patel.
I know.
The summer of Dev Patel, and look what happened.
As excited I am that movie theaters are coming back, I don't know when I'll be comfortable enough to go again.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, there's the drive-in movie.
Yeah, I've never been to a drive-in.
Oh, you haven't? I thought you had.
Stranded at the drive-in.
I don't
Branded
know.
Stranded a fool.
I don't know if I've been. Maybe my memory's just...
Monday at school. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Continue. Keep singing. I love this duet. Your duets are my favorite duets.
Okay.
Because I generally don't know how to duet with either of you. So you two are more on the same level.
So question.
Answer.
What is the best or your favorite, and I know it's been more than one because I know how you are, Anna, Nicole Kidman performance?
Okay. You asked me, you literally sent this to us the other day.
Because I knew young
and
time.
I was going to be prepared.
I know.
And I can figure it out right now.
I think my favorite is Moulin Rouge, obviously, because that movie is quality.
The bomb.
But I think her best might be Big Little Lies. Although I really liked her in Paddington. Because that movie is great.
Oh,
and she
God.
Was a really good villain.
I really love see Paddington.
It's so cute. It's cute. Really great commentary and immigration, actually. I never saw the second one, but the first one's
really I really want to see it. I'm about to rent it.
One of my favorites of hers is The Others. That one's really good.
I really want to see that.
Yeah, it's one of those, oh, and of course, because it's me, and you know what kind of movies I love.
Oh, my God.
Practical Magic. That movie is my shit.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I love
that
it.
That movie is my shit. Of course, Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge. Honestly, Moulin Rouge. That is a Nicole Kidman that we have not seen since, and we had not seen before that, and we will not see again. Like, that's just... Iconic.
Ooh, Stoker.
Shut the fuck up. Stoker is such a good fucking movie. Guys, if you have not watched Stoker, me and Anna like are recommending this so much because it's just a wild fucking ride. And that's all I'm going to tell you. And that's all you need to know. But also the cinematography, that was really good too. Also, it has a... What's
Matthew
his name?
Good.
Matthew
yeah,
Good.
I know. I haven't seen it yet, but I know.
I'm going to go with... Okay, so I watched Cold Mountain when I was very, very young, and I really loved it because I love tragedies. I love a tragic romance. I love people destined not to be together.
Oh, God.
That's my life.
That's on brand
for you. That's where I got my favorite euphemism for sex.
What?
Renee Zellweger goes, well, you two were wimbling all night long. Wimble, wimble.
Oh my god. That was a really great performance of hers, but I'll probably have to go. Okay, honestly, like, her and Lion, wow, it blew me away. Because I actually, like, paid more attention to her this time, and I was like, you're doing amazing, sweetie. But I'll probably go with Moulin Rouge. Iconic.
I think her best is Big Little Lies, actually.
I do agree that season one of Big Little Lies, her, yeah, her performance was... was the consumption from Moulin Rouge.
Because, like, I think of those scenes where she's with the therapist and she's describing her relationship with her, with Alexander Skarsgård. And, like,
Skarsgård.
You see, like, her face when she's realizing what the type of relationship is having she's having with him. Like, it clicked in her. It's, like, her eyes. Like, that everything in that first season is quality. Second season, meh. But first season is so good. And I think that's probably, for me personally, I think that's her best work. But my favorite is Moulin Rouge.
I think, you know, even with Moulin Rouge, even though it's easy to be like, ah, it's a musical, whatever, it goes from her being, like, campy and, like, comedy to, like, being very serious. Like, the range.
Yeah, literally. It's got it all, man.
Yes, range in that. So I'm going to go with that one.
Also, the others. I think my favorite two are probably Big Little Lies and the others. It's been a long time since I've seen the others, but I remember it having a big impact. And then I love Practical Magic.
That's beautiful. I was just curious. I wanted to know. So do you have your ranking for it?
Let me get this together in 2 seconds. Come on, first. What have we seen? Oh, yeah. I got this.
Okay, so I already have mine, so I'll go. Okay, so... at the very bottom was Not Enough. Hacksaw Ridge. Then it goes Hell or High Water, La La Land, Lion, Fences, Hidden Figures, and Arrival. And I think it's above La La Land because obviously. And it's below Fences because Fences is just like an acting tour de force. Like there's no, you can't, like, they're acting in my face. And I'm like, yes, please. So they're like just they're different movies in that regard, but I guess for me I like a lot of dialogue, I guess, a lot of like emotional dialogue, and I feel like that's where that.
Okay, I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Much like Crystal, Hacksaw Ridge is way down there at the bottom, followed by Hell or High Water, and then this is hard for me. Then it's Hidden Figures, then it's La La Land. Then it's Fences, then Lion, then Arrival.
Wow, okay.
All right. Oh, okay.
At this moment. Ask me tomorrow morning and it might be different.
That's fair. Well, I know how you are.
Shit. Oh, no.
Every way.
So oh, yeah. Why is... I'm sorry. Are you... Okay.
No, she's still thinking. You guys go.
So with Lion being... Lion is above... What was your third one? I'm sorry.
Anna. Fences.
Why is it above Fences for you?
They could be interchangeable, but I think it's because I'm still really emotional about it, and I just saw it.
And they're so different because, you know, Lion requires a lot of, like, of distance and travel, and it requires you to see things. Like, those overhead shots of, like, the river mimicking the Google Earth stuff was really cool. Yeah. So it has to be bigger. Whereas Fences is very small, and it's very, like, it's much a like play. A play. What now?
It is a play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the movie is not, but the like, it's very small and contained. So, like, they're just, like, two different, they're just, like, you're right, they're interchangeable. They could be.
I forgot that Google helped with the production. They gave them real-time satellite images of what it would have looked like back in 2012 when he was doing all of this.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if you notice the first time he uses Google Earth, it's one version, and then later on it's an updated version, and so they gave them all the right stuff.
That's so cool.
So that they wouldn't, and it saved them a lot of visual effects budget.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah.
Google milked the shit out of this story.
It was really
nice. I'm sure they
did.
It was
a really nice Google Earth commercial.
Basically. Yeah.
They did use him for a Google Earth commercial.
They did?
I'm not surprised.
He also talked at like the big Google conference. And then Google did a panel with Saru, Dev Patel, and Luke.
Davis?
No, that's Garth.
Luke Davies, yeah. The screenwriter?
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke Davies. That's cool. Right on, Google Earth. Go ahead with your bad self.
Okay, Joy.
I think I've got it.
Okay, go ahead.
So, God, I wish we had more differing opinions. So it wouldn't be like the same list like 30 times.
Well, no, me and Oz is really different.
Okay,
Hacksaw Ridge. That makes sense for us, actually. Sorry.
You're very different, but you're very similar. And I know, because I'm not either of you.
My sisters. Stand together.
Yeah. Did you see she got married?
Yeah, I did.
So cute. I saw her Instagram. Oh. Hacksaw Ridge, because I didn't even see it. Hell or High Water, because Chris Pine's eyes can only do so much. La La Land, because it's fun. And then so the top half of this list is just a clusterfuck because they're so good. I think it's really hard. I think Hidden Figures is how I'm feeling right now. And then shit. I should have more time to think about this. And then Lion?
Good job.
Lion, Fences, Arrival. But honestly, the top three I could switch up anymore. Right now, honestly, I actually Lion maybe number one, but that's only because I'm still feeling this. Actually, for me, it's just a lot easier to put it from top to bottom because from bottom to top is really confusing. I don't know why I did that. Lion, Fences, Arrival, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Hell or High Water, Hacksaw Ridge. Done.
There you go. Boom. Fine. She did it. She finally did it.
That was so hard.
Okay, so that's been our discussions. Lion, what?
What did you guys think of it? Like the audience, I mean, not you guys.
Terrible. Oh, you're not asking me.
There's a delay. We're on Skype.
There's a lag.
You're a lag.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I heard a song that came on my Spotify and I was like, oh, Anna.
Oh my God.
I should text you right now. And then I got distracted because I was at work. But, anyways, thanks for listening, everybody.
We'll be back next week.
We will. Yeah.
A few more. And then we get to talk about the winner.
Yes. Woo, finally.
I'm so excited.
I'm so fucking excited. I'm so pumped.
Okay. So, see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.